Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. It's been an hour since E. Jean Carroll left a New York City courthouse. Carroll didn't say anything, but she was clearly elated after a jury found Donald Trump defamed her and awarded her more than $88 million in damages. CBS's Graham Cates on her attorney's strategy.
Their pitch to the jury was, choose a number that will make him stop saying defamatory things. And now we all have to sit back and see, will he stop? And the thing that's really complicated about that is, he's running for president. So along the way, people are going to ask him about the sexual abuse finding, about the two defamation findings, about the combined $88.3 million across the two trials.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson says Trump didn't do himself any favors.
Every time he said something disrespectful about her or about the court, that seemed to fit into the jury's calculus to come back with an even bigger monetary verdict against Trump.
It took the jury less than 3 hours to come up with that verdict. Trump says he will appeal. The Republican National Committee has withdrawn a resolution to declare Trump the presumptive presidential nominee. CBS's Finn Gomez.
Because of some of the backlash, because of some of the reaction internally, they decided it was best to go forward with their overall strategy to defeat his last remaining contender, Nikki Haley, at the ballot box.
3 weeks after a door plug blew out and grounded Boeing 737 MAX 9s, the jets are going back into service with an Alaska Airlines flight due to leave Seattle for San Diego shortly. Aviation analyst Jeff Wise says Boeing has to be held accountable.
The hard part about making a plane like this isn't designing it, although that's certainly a feat. It's putting all of these pieces together safely, all the human beings, all the systems that have to come together in the right way, in the right order, without any goof-ups. That's clearly what hasn't happened here.
The UN's highest court says Israel has to prevent genocide in Gaza. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
This ruling is critical only in the court of public opinion, and that it's going to make it harder for Israel to continue to justify this kind of bombardment of Gaza when you're having allies, nations, and now this international body associated with the UN say that they're going too far and they need to do more to protect civilians.
The U.S. is hoping for another hostage release deal. National Security spokesman John Kirby.
We're doing everything we can to bring these moms and dads, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters back home to their families. Our thoughts remain with them, and of course their loved ones, as well as all the innocent Palestinians.
On Wall Street, the Dow gained 60, the NASDAQ lost 55. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A record number of people in Wisconsin are enrolled in health insurance on healthcare.gov, more than 266,000, according to the Department of Health Services. That's a 20% increase from the previous open enrollment period. Open enrollment is over, but some people can enroll year-round. A bill to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks of pregnancy has passed the state assembly, Republican Representative Karen Hurd.
I am so in favor of women's rights and women to make whatever health decisions they want. I want everybody to make their own health decision. But here's the conundrum in this. There's another life involved.
10 Republicans voted against the referendum. Governor Evers says he'd veto any effort to make abortion access more restrictive. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers take on Sparty. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Michigan State Spartans at the Kohl Center, but the Badgers will be without their backup point guard. Kamari McGee suffered an injury to his ankle and right foot in the second half of their game against Indiana. McGee out of Racine St. Catharines now listed as out indefinitely. Marquette hosts Seton Hall tomorrow at noon. NBA, the Bucks and Doc Rivers agreeing to a four-year deal worth $40 million. Rivers taking over for Adrian Griffin, fired Tuesday. The Bucks host the Cavaliers tonight. Joe Prunty on his role as the Bucks interim head coach.
Circumstances are always different, but like I said, you just do. Time doesn't stand still. You got to keep moving forward. And so, okay, what decisions need to be made? How are we going to handle this? What do you say to the players? What do you say to the coaching staff? And so I was proud of the guys for doing that, like coming out and staying focused on what we needed to do.
That's the Bucks' Joe Prunty. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Drizzle, light rain, and cloudy with foggy areas tonight and a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. And more clouds around on Sunday, some foggy areas and mid-30s. Sunshine Monday, high approaching 40. A chance of rain and snow showers Monday night. Right now it's 33.
Hey everybody, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Todd will be back from his trip around the state on Monday and we'll round up the weekend in news. Join us from noon to 2.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
From the 414. No, it's actually Conrad's aunt again. Aunt Carla. Conrad, she says, Tommy Boy is my go-to winter movie. I'm okay with Terry and Rico winning the How Wisconsin Are You quiz, she's referring to. Plus, Conrad's other aunt Pam was Sauk County Fairest of the Fair. Love listening to the show driving back from Chicago. No, not texting while driving. That sounds like she is texting while driving. Citizen's arrest, Aunt Carla. Thank you for chiming in. From the 414, another just thank you, Pete. Well, thank you for texting in 414-608. Rico says, Mrs. Rico, Amy, in parentheses, wanted me to put her movie, She Just Loves Alive, from 1993. That is a winner. I think that's the movie where the, let's bring, is Rob Thomas, we have Rob. Hey, Rob. Rob, you there?
How are you?
Hey, good, buddy. How are you?
Good.
Is Alive from 1993? Is that the... airplane movie where they have to like eat each other to stay alive?
They only eat some of them, Pete. Let's be factual here. Yes, that is that movie. And I think there's a new version of that story on Netflix, right? Called Society of the Snow.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the same incident. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Rico's wife loves that movie. I'm not going to dinner at their house. Also from the 608. Oh, this is also Rico. I've only seen it every winter, whether I like it or not. Okay. So that's all right. We all have our favorite movies. Do you have a favorite winter movie, Rob?
Fargo comes to mind immediately because I think that gets the Midwestern winter. Like, I just remember that scene where Steve Buscemi hides the money and he's just like, there's just snow as far as I can see. And he sticks this tiny little ice scraper in the ground to mark it. Yeah. So great.
So many great movies. That movie, probably Steve Buscemi has my favorite moments of the whole. I love when he's trying to park the car and the guy, he just goes in and turns around and comes out and the guy goes, well, you still got to pay the $4 or whatever. Was Steve Buscemi just looks at him and he's like, what do you think? You're a big tough guy. So my guest now joining us, who's already joined us and is chiming in, is Rob Thomas from the Capital Times, the entertainment reporter. Rob, it's great to have you here. I always like talking TV and movies with you, buddy. Great to have you.
Great to be here, as always.
Yeah. So, hey, we just did a rundown of Wisconsin cheeses. Do you have a favorite cheese, Rob?
Favorite cheese?
Yeah, they were Gouda, Gorgonzola, Swiss, Munster, Hispanic, queso, feta, American, Italian, Parmesan, Romano, and Asiago, cheddar, and mozzarella. Those are the top 10 cheeses in Wisconsin, according to...
Yeah, I would go for a sharp cheddar, I think. I mean, maybe that's pretty basic, but that's the one.
Number two. Yeah, that's a good one. I like the sharp as well. I got no use for regular cheddar. It's just like, come on, what are we doing here? Well, let's jump in. Speaking of Fargo, Rob, okay... I think you were the one that told me about season 5 the last time you were here a couple weeks ago, and I'm on episode 4 of season 5. I never want this season to end. It's so good. And you, I think you really liked it too, right?
I do. And I'm behind you now because we watched three episodes and then we put it on pause. Oh, yeah, it's just like one great actor after another. They kind of play with the movie Fargo and the, you know, with the wife being kidnapped, and then it kind of turns the tables on that. Yeah, I totally agree. I think I've liked every season. I mean, the third was fine. The one with Ewan McGregor plays identical twins. But I really, this one I think might be the best, at least since the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the first two. I think season two had Patrick Wilson and maybe
Ted Danson.
Was that okay? So I like those two. And then I didn't watch three or four for some reason. But this one, my gosh, it's like a combination, you're right, of the movie and No Country for Old Men. They work from that Coen Brothers movie some things in here, like John Hamm plays the sheriff and he says, my father was the sheriff, my grandfather before him. And then you realize he's like this crazy guy. It's so good.
Well, it's so full of Easter eggs if you know Coen Brothers movies. Like, at one point, I think it was in the third episode, you see somebody's license plates and they start with DLR. And that's a reference. I know you remember the scene in Fargo where Francis McDormand's, it's a long story, but he thinks DLR stands for dealer, but he thinks it means DLR. So it was sort of a deep cut for Fargo fans. But
I did not catch that. Wow. That's
cool. So yeah, but the thing is, I don't think you need to have seen the movie or the previous seasons. You probably know better because you haven't seen your seasons to really enjoy the season, which I think wrapped up last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, good. I love binge watching it too. Like when I get home from here, typically is when I put something on and I'll just binge it until I go to bed. But I love knowing that I can watch all of those now. And the character Munch is so, I think that's his name, Munch, the creepy guy that John Hamm hires. one of the most bizarre characters I've seen so far in TV. And I'm an episode ahead of you. I don't expect you to know all of the weirdness, but
this is the first TV show I've seen with a 500-year-old flashback. That was so bizarre. Yeah.
It was so bizarre and kind of just supernatural. And I love it. Anyway. All right. So let's get on to the Oscars, Rob, because the minute they announced them earlier in the week, I was excited to talk to you. Let's talk snubs. What do you think? Who do you think was snubbed?
Well, the consensus is that Barbie, while it won Best Picture, was snubbed because Greta Gerwig was not nominated for Best Director. And the one that's even more head-scratching, I think, is Margot Robbie was not nominated for Best Actress playing the title role, it's funny because the way things work now, there is a backlash to that. And then almost immediately there was a backlash to the backlash and people saying, look, Barbie made a lot of money. It got eight Oscar nominations. You know, there won't be anything to complain about. Right.
Right.
But I think it's weird. Like, I think it's, that movie was such a cultural juggernaut and so well, like, I cannot imagine another actress playing Barbie the way Margot Robbie did. Like, I guess Anne Hathaway was considered at one point a perfectly fine actress, but I just cannot imagine that.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm with you. And I think the biggest snub out of the whole Barbie thing for me is Greta Gerwig, because it's up for Best Picture. And I've never understood how you can make the best movie and not get a nod or nomination for Best Director. I think this happened with Mad Max Fury Road.
Right.
Is it George Miller? I think he didn't win Best Director. But to pull all of those elements together, locations, actors, script, everything, and make this kind of masterpiece and not win Best Director is strange. And Greta Gerwig, like, I agree with you about Margot Robbie. She's great. But I was like, okay, it was kind of a fun movie. Maybe that's why they didn't nominate her. But then they go ahead and nominate Ryan Gosling, who did kind of the same type of performance. It's so strange.
Well, yeah, and you know, as a director yourself, like people were saying, like, well, it won eight, or it's been nominated for eight awards. Picture, writing, two actors. America Ferrara was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. writing. Greta Gerwig co-wrote it, like two songs, production design. So it's like, well, they should be happy with that. But like, the director was behind all those decisions, the writing, the casting, the production design, the song. Like, the director is the one who makes 1,000 decisions and puts that all together. So to honor all that and then not honor the director, I think is very strange. And like, she, I'm trying to remember, like, all her previous movies, Little Women and Lady Bird, I don't think she was nominated for Little Women either, even though I think that was nominated for Best Picture. So
I love that movie.
She's been here before, and obviously she's got a great career in front of her, but it's at some point it's kind of like, well, what more do I have to do to get nominated for an Oscar, right?
And it's like, I don't feel sorry for her. She's mega rich and she's going to make any movie she wants for the rest of her career, but it's just puzzling. It's almost like, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but they want people talking about something, and to snub both of them is strange. I also, you know, that doesn't make sense to me unless there's more to the story I don't know about. Anyway, what do you think about Leo DiCaprio, Rob? Was he snubbed?
I mean, a little bit. Like, I think that, you know, he's somebody who's been nominated quite a bit. And, you know, that performance is really good, but it's sort of one note. He basically plays, you know, kind of a dumb guy who is either aware of all the evil he's part of or is kind of oblivious to it. There's just not a lot of layers to it, especially when you put up against Robert De Niro, who was nominated, who's, as we talked about, is phenomenal in that movie, and Lily Gladstone. You know, I think of those three, if somebody had to go, it'd probably be Leo, I think.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you were the one that said he was doing it seemed like he was doing Billy Bob Thornton.
I think he had, like, you know, prosthetic ears or prosthetic nose, and it was very method, I guess. Like, I interviewed a couple of extras who were on the set, and like, Robert De Niro was super nice. Martin Scorsese was super nice. Leo DiCaprio did not talk to anybody, did not break character, which is just, you know, a way of acting, right?
Right.
And some great actors do that, but it's just interesting, like he was so deep in this sort of unlikable character, I guess.
Yeah. There's a great story, maybe you've heard it, about Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier when they were making Marathon Man. And Dustin Hoffman had to stay up all night. His character, anyway, was sleep deprived and had been tortured and was trying to get through the night and stayed up all night to prepare for the role. And Laurence Olivier said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, but dear boy, you should learn how to act. Then you wouldn't have to put yourself through such agony or something like that. So that's interesting about Leo DiCaprio, because it doesn't seem like that role would be that much of a stretch for him.
Right.
And let's pick up here, because I love De Niro's performance and Lily Gladstone. So we'll talk more about that with Rob Thomas. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
President Joe Biden visits Superior, Wisconsin, and you heard it as it happened live during the Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are happy to be here covering President Biden. He is bringing news. $1 billion is going to be awarded here in Superior, Wisconsin. This is part of the infrastructure bill. This bridge is going to be replaced. So vital, not only to the city, but to the region.
News that matters to you and your community. Count on coverage from your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on a Friday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. Rob Thomas is with me. We're talking movies and Oscars and snubs or no snubs. So, Rob, what I was going to say was, are we in a position where with movies, like everybody said, oh, Leo DiCaprio got snubbed too. Like, is that a snub? I mean, he's got a great body of work. He's a phenomenal actor. But just because someone does a film and doesn't get nominated, that's not necessarily a snub, is it?
I mean, I see your point. I mean, part of the fun of the nominations is talking snubs, I think. Like, I think right. They, like you said earlier, you wonder if they wanted people talking about Barbie, Greta Gerwig and getting snubbed. I mean, I don't think they're consciously doing that, but that is part of the fun of it, is going, you know, how could they not nominate that? Or how could they nominate this? And, you know, if they aligned with, if every choice aligned with your personal taste, that'd be a pretty boring Oscars to watch, even if somebody did slap somebody else, right? So
exactly. Before we move on past the snubs, was Origin, I did not see Origin, but a lot of people are saying the director Ava DuVernay got snubbed because the movie is supposed to be phenomenal. Have you seen that?
I saw it. I had kind of a mixed reaction to it. It's adapting a, it's sort of a mix of fiction and documentary, adapting this book, Caste, about racism and oppression. And there's a lot I liked in it, but it kind of goes overboard, I think, and tries to put too much in there. So I don't know if that's the reason why it didn't get nominated. Also, I think, you know, I think it used to be the case that like movies would get released really late, like right up to the wire of the nominations.
Yeah.
I think that's not a good idea anymore. I think a lot of the movies that are nominated are stuff like Barbie and Oppenheimer came out in the summer. Killers of the Flower Moon came out in October. And I think if there's so much to watch that if they release it like at the last minute, voters might not catch it, you know? Yeah.
And they kind of probably are, or at least might assume that they're trying to pull a fast one on them or something. Oh, they're just releasing it right under the wire, so it's the last thing we'll see or whatever. I mean, I'm just guessing, but
yeah.
What about The Color Purple, Rob? Was that a snub? Did they snub Oprah?
I haven't seen it. I know Best Actress, I think, but that's another one that came out Christmas Day, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Iron Claw, I think, was another, like, I saw that last weekend. I mean, Zac Efron's really, really good in that. That was kind of a little bit of a surprise to me. But again, you know, there's all those movies coming out of Christmas or, you know, not even getting to theaters like in Green Bay and Madison until after the nominations. And there's just not a lot of buzz for them.
Right. I'm kind of in the position where I live in kind of a more rural area and we have two theaters, but they both kind of play the same big blockbusters. And one of the theaters gets a blockbuster after the other one. I'm like, why don't you play different films? Like, but, so I'm sort of like, I have to watch what's on streaming unless I am here in Green Bay or go to Madison or whatever. But, in your Substack, Rob, you wrote about two documentaries. Did you go to Sundance or were you doing the Sundance online thing?
I'm doing it online, which is really fun. Yeah. This weekend, sort of the back half of the festival, they're putting a lot of the movies online. Ordinary people can go and for the price of a ticket, they can stay inside and warm and watch a lot of the movies, including some of the award winners, which is really fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah. But
you like these movies, Power and Union?
Yeah, they're really interesting. One is Union is about documentary about the worker Amazon workers in Staten Island who are trying to organize, which is kind of a famous David versus Goliath story. And these filmmakers are like right with the organizers every step of the way. It's really kind of suspenseful, even though you know how it's going to end. Really suspenseful. And then Power is this documentary. It said it's Netflix bought it, so it'll be on Netflix at some point. But about police in America and how a lot of modern policing, you know, it goes back to 150 years to kind of how it was started and the problems that come from that. And, you know, so it's really interesting. So those were two, you know, pretty heavy documentaries, but I really enjoyed both of them.
That's cool. Your Substack is great. You want to tell people how they can find it? You always have great articles there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So it's called Not That Rob Thomas at Substack. If you type that in, people will find it. Because as be called Rob Thomas, all the time people are making Matchbox 20 jokes. So I would go, Not That Rob Thomas. I thought I would lean into it, right, and own it a little bit. Right. So, yeah. But that it's been really fun. I have a few more Sundance reviews coming this weekend.
Oh, cool. Let's go back just to the Oscars for a second, Rob. Lily Gladstone, first Native American ever to be nominated for an Oscar. I saw this on some show when I was watching the coverage. It said she was voted by her high school classmates to win Best Actress in the Oscars years and years ago. I think that's so cool. But is she a favorite, do you think, to take that award home?
I she's got to be one of the favorites. I'm kind of thinking Emma Stone might win for Poor Things. Have you seen Poor Things?
I have not. I've got like three of the best pictures still to see. So that's
I've got two. And, she's great in it, but it's a very showy, over-the-top performance. You know, she does these crazy things with her body. She's sort of like, without getting too much into, basically playing like a Frankenstein monster sort of, and so it's totally wild and different. Whereas Lily Gladstone, you know, she just does so much just by sitting there, and it tends to be that the Oscars will, you know, I heard somebody say that the award should be for most acting, not best acting. And
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm rooting for Lily, but I have a feeling Emma Stone might win that one.
Yeah, that's tough because I mean, just because she's the first Native American, I'm kind of pulling for her, although I have not seen Emma Stone. So it is, unfortunately, has nothing to do with ethnicity or history. But so Rob, you have, I am most looking forward to your review of a movie that is coming out soon. Say it along with me, Roadhouse. What do you think?
I think they released the trailer this week, and let's be honest, it looks pretty great. I mean,
it does.
Jake Gyllenhaal, I believe, is in the Patrick Swayze role playing, and is Conor McGregor the MMA fighter?
That bothers me.
I don't know. The thing is, I don't think it's going to be released in theaters. I think it's going to be on Amazon Prime, and it's like that is such a missed opportunity. What a great popcorn movie.
Totally.
Go watch Roadhouse.
Yeah. Absolutely. That movie is made for theaters. Absolutely. Hey, Rob, can you hang for just a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. Fantastic. We got more with Rob Thomas coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News special report. The defamation case against Donald Trump is over. For now, CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
A New York jury took just a short time reaching its decision in the civil defamation case against former President Donald Trump, brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. The nine-person jury awarded Carroll $83.3 million in damages.
We just said over for now because Trump quickly announced that he'll appeal the verdict. And then there's the campaign. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
The very moment this verdict was announced, Donald Trump's campaign team sent out a press release criticizing Nikki Haley about her border policy.
The University of Virginia's Larry Sabato.
We all know that the reaction among his Trump base will be to rally round him and be even more supportive, and to call this suppression, voter suppression, an attempt to move his followers elsewhere.
CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in Milwaukee Friday to talk about the economy, which is defying expectations. New data from the Commerce Department shows GDP shot up 3.3% from October to December.
We have an economy that has been growing at a good, healthy pace. I see no reason why that can't continue. I think 2024 is going to be a very good economic year.
Yellen speaking with ABC News. The State Department of Natural Resources is warning people to be safe on the ice as warm temperatures and rain weaken the ice. While Wisconsin saw bitter cold quickly freeze lakes earlier this month, temperatures around the state have been above freezing all last week. The DNR says to wear proper clothing like a life jacket and carry a stick or rod with you to check the ice before you step foot on it. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Drizzle, light rain, and cloudy with foggy areas tonight and a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. And more clouds around on Sunday, some foggy areas and mid-30s. Sunshine Monday, high approaching 40. A chance of rain and snow showers Monday night. Right now it's 33.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Our Wisconsin winter feels like the perfect time for casseroles. And Red Maple Restaurant near Walker's Point recently received King of the Hot Dish Crown.
They had an amazing kind of Asian-inspired, gravy-covered, meatball-heavy casserole, which was my personal favorite, so I was glad to see it win.
Matt Wild with Milwaukee Record visiting Matt and Air on Air, where Greg wants all in on this tasty bake-off.
You got your businesses, and then people can bring their own casserole, so there's like almost like two levels of competition.
I like this.
The casserole contest supports the Kinship Food Center. We'll keep you posted on the next one. If music is more your thing, the Rat Pack Tribute Show returns to the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee, Saturday, January 27th. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back. Tonight's question, what is your favorite winter movie? Rob Thomas, who is with us now, says Fargo. I say Groundhog Day. And this would not be an episode of Nightlight if Conrad's mom hadn't weighed in. Would you have known this, Conrad?
I looked at it already, and I didn't think that was her favorite winter movie.
From the 920, Paula, her favorite winter movie is The Chronicles of Narnia. Chronicles of Narnia. That's a good one.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, totally. Have you seen that, Rob?
I haven't seen that one. I read the book a long time ago. I forgot that was set in the winter, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
So we were talking about Roadhouse. Does it bother you at all, Rob, that with the remake, they've obviously made some deal with the UFC because Jake Gyllenhaal plays an ex-UFC fighter. Like, they could have just made him an MMA fighter. Maybe the UFC helped finance it. I don't know what the deal is, but that just doesn't sit well with me for some reason.
You think that violates the sanctity of Roadhouse?
Well done. Yeah, it's... You know what's funny is, like, I've learned that when I bring that movie up, the Pat Swayze classic, it's just campy. It's like you can't take it seriously, but some people do. Oh, that was a great movie. It's like, no, it was fun. It was entertaining, but you can't put it up there as a great movie. I feel like it's more campy now because Conor McGregor, I think, is just kind of a clown sometimes, like a great fighter.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know. That part of it just – and honestly, casting Conor McGregor, who's going to have a showdown with Jake Gyllenhaal in the movie. Is anyone buying that Gyllenhaal is going to come out on top?
I don't know. He did a movie called Southpaw. Do you remember that movie a few years ago where Jake Gyllenhaal played a boxer? He got jacked for that movie. Like, it was shocking.
Right.
Not a great boxing movie, but he got absolutely,
He's jacked for this, but doesn't always mean,
no.
I remember looking at a Time magazine cover when Jerry Cooney and Sylvester Stallone were on the cover, and Stallone looked like more of a boxer, and he was cut and everything. Cooney looked like he was serving donuts somewhere, but you know who's going to win that. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
Conor McGregor. So anyway.
I have high hopes. I mean,
Are you going to review that one?
I might, actually. Okay. Yeah. If I get a chance. I'm There's something gloriously cheesy about the original right. that you just can't replicate in 2024, I think.
I agree. It's like Patrick Swayze's line, I think he said when she's stitching him up, the cute doctor who's there in the middle of the night in the small town hospital, he says, is it pain don't hurt or something like that? Or some classic Swayze. Hey, also, Rob, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. We played some clips from The Sting earlier because it's Paul Newman's birthday today. Do you have a favorite Paul Newman film?
I saw there was a conversation on social media. What was your first Paul Newman movie? I got to go back to, remember watching The Sting as a kid? Like, and also Butch and Sundance. Like, those two movies with him and Robert Redford, I think, are just incredibly rewatchable classics. I think The Sting is not as well known maybe as Bush and Sundance is today. Great con movie, super entertaining. And then, more recently, I was a huge fan of Road to Perdition with Tom Hanks.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Great gangster movie, and Paul Newman plays the crime boss, and a young Daniel Craig is sort of his slimy son, and Jude Law is in it. He plays this sort of skeevy talk. Just a great, great movie. That's definitely one I want to revisit.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, one of our texters earlier said Paul Newman had swagger, and I could not have agreed more. But it was like he didn't even try. Like one of those guys that just, and this from text from the 608, Rico says, cool hand Luke. And we talked about that earlier too. He just says, I bet I can eat 50 eggs. And he just had like a way of talking, and he's just so great.
I don't even remember seeing him like dressed up. Like every picture of him, he's like in a white t-shirt and, or the prison garb. It looks great every time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And although in The Sting, he's dressed up and he cleans up well too.
That's true. Right.
Look pretty good in the suit.
Yeah.
Okay. So What else did I want to? Oh, how about Oppenheimer too? Let's go back to the Oscars because I want to get your opinion on just maybe a quick fun Rob Thomas pick, and I can do one too, and maybe we can chat about those after the Oscars. But
sure,
what Oppenheimer 13? Are you surprised? I mean, I liked Oppenheimer a lot, but that's, I think 14 is the record, like Titanic and All About Eve. 13 Oscar nominations. That's crazy.
I mean, I'm kind of not surprised because it's one of those movies where, like, the technical achievements, you know,
yeah, right,
your sound mixing, your sound editing, your visual effects are, is incredible. But then so are all, like, the performances. Like, I think you and I talked, like every 3 minutes, there'd be like a new actor walking on screen. It's like, oh my God, it's that guy. And he's great. You know? I'm not, yeah. I mean, that's the one I'm probably I am picking for best picture. I think, cause it is such a juggernaut. You know, I don't know how we'll do in the acting categories, but I definitely think it's going to take a lot of those technical ones, and then best picture and best director.
That would be really weird, if almost more strange, if Barbie won best picture over Oppenheimer somehow, because I think everybody is thinking that Oppenheimer is kind of the odds on favorite. But
they do sometimes split. I've noticed split between best picture and best director. So
yeah,
I mean, who knows? More that would be wild.
Think. Yeah. Okay. So let's go through these categories. If you don't mind, we'll do a,
sure.
So best picture, you think Oppenheimer?
Yeah. Put me down.
All right. I kind of want to do something different just because, you know what, here's what I'm going to do, Rob. I'm going to say Anatomy of a Fall, because that seems like a critic star. And I think the last time you were on, I had just seen it and I liked it enough, but not, I don't get the crazy hype around it. So
yeah,
that could be like a concession prize between sort of, we're not going to go Barbie or Oppenheimer. So I'll just say Anatomy of a Fall to be different, I guess.
Okay. I'll take it. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's that, they talk about, like, you know, votes get split and like a third movie sneaks in. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Best actress, Emma Stone, Lily Gladstone, Annette Bening, Carey Mulligan, and Sandra Huller.
Oh, Carey Mulligan was really good too. In Maestro. She was the best thing in Maestro. I think I'm still going to go. Are we doing want to win or would win? We think we'll win.
Let's do, we think we'll win.
Probably. I'm going to say Emma Stone, even though I wish I want Lily Gladstone to win. I mean, Stone versus Stone.
Yeah, right. I'm going to say, I'll say Lily.
Okay.
So best actor, Paul Giamatti, Brad Cooper, Coleman Domingo, Cillian Murphy, or Jeffrey Wright.
Did
you say Cillian or Cillian?
I think it's a hard cake.
I think it is Cillian. Too, but I've heard people
recently. Oh, I don't know. Now I don't know. Now that I'm saying that, now it sounds like I've heard. Yeah, I think it's a hard cake.
Let's just say Murphy.
But if he calls in, I'll correct myself.
I dare him to call in.
Yeah. I would have said Cillian Murphy for playing Oppenheimer for most of the year. I kind of now think it's Paul Giamatti. I think because he's just been so good for so long. And that's a movie that, I mean, that's a role that's just perfect for him. And that movie, I think, like, that's the movie I would recommend to anybody, you know, of all the 10 Best Picture nominations. Yeah. Like, it's just such a good, enjoyable movie.
I have to see that. I have not seen The Holdovers. I'm waiting because it's like everyone says it's a great family movie, but I can't align everybody to watch it, so I'm just gonna have to
fight the it's bullets. On one it's on one of the streamers. It's like on, I mean, like,
yeah,
Peacock or Paramount, one of the ones you probably don't have, like Peacock or Paramount Plus, but it's out there somewhere.
Yeah. Best director, I got Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, and Zone of Interest. And some of the directors, I don't know how to pronounce their names, so I'm not gonna try.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not good to bet against Scorsese because people do wonder, you know, I mean,
this could be his last.
He's got to,
yeah.
He already says he's working on another one about Jesus Christ.
He's
got the next one lined up.
Yeah. I meant last Oscar. Oh, that's true. If he's doing a movie about Jesus, that might be nominated.
Yeah.
As well.
Right. I think I got to go Christopher Nolan on that for Oppenheimer.
I'm going to do it too.
Yeah.
All right. Best supporting actor, Mark Ruffalo, Robert De Niro, Robert Downey Jr., Sterling K. Brown, or Ryan Gosling.
I gotta go Robert Downey Jr., I think.
Really?
Just because like he's a great actor, but like all we know of him for the last decade is Iron Man.
Yeah.
And then you see him in that movie and he's like, oh, that's right. Before Iron Man, like, he was this great actor, this great, great character point. Actor.
Yeah, yeah. Great point. Okay. I'm going to go Robert De Niro. Just play the. Yeah. Well, although I haven't seen Poor Things, but for now I'll say De Niro.
Mark Ruffalo's funny in that, but I don't think he's going to win. Yeah.
Okay. Best Supporting Actress, America Ferrera, Danielle Brooks, Divine Joy Randolph, Emily Blunt, or Jodie Foster?
I think Divine Joy Randolph for Holdovers. Okay. She's really, really good in it. And
I'll have to say America Ferrera because I think Barbie's got to win something.
Good choice.
And then Adapted Screenplay. Not one of the more popular categories, but since I have a writing background, I'm going to ask. American Fiction, Zone of Interest, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things.
It's interesting that Barbie's in that category. Like, what is being adapted there? Like,
I know a doll, right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, I didn't, like, I have daughters. Like, I didn't read the back of a Barbie box and think that would make a great movie.
You got to turn this into 120 pages.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a toughie. That's a toughie. I'm going to say Barbie. What the heck? Because then Greta Gerwig wins, right? So
you know what? Great point. I'm going to say Barbie too. I'm going to ride the coattails on that one. Best original screenplay: The Holdovers, May, December. Haven't seen it. Past Lives. Haven't seen it. Anatomy of a Fall or Maestro.
Ooh, a lot of people like Past Lives.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the only one it really has a shot at, because it's not going to get Best Picture. I'm going to say Past Lives. But that's a good category.
I'm going to go outside the box, and even though I don't think it was, I think this will be a tip of the hat to Leonard Bernstein. So I'm going to say Maestro, even though, you know, maybe it'll win something. I don't know. All right, cool. I'm going to hold on to these, and then we can circle back after the Oscars. I hope I don't have to wait that long to talk to you, but at least I have it on ice. My last question for you, Rob, are you going to watch Farmer Wants a Wife?
Is that a reality show?
Where does Fox come up with these names? Like, you're inundated with them too. If you watch sports, it's Farmer Wants a Wife. That's the new
one. What happened to like Joe Millionaire and Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire? You know, I feel like we've women have dropped their standards. Reality romance shows.
Yeah, all these farmers are probably actors anyway. I mean,
come on. That's true. They're all pretty hunky. Yeah. I might be giving a miss on that.
But, all right. Yeah. I'll keep you posted. I'll watch it. I'll take one for the team.
Nice.
All right. Well, hey, so much fun. Thanks so much, Rob. Great to talk to you and catch up. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, Pete. Thanks a lot.
Okay, buddy. Have a good night. That's Rob Thomas from the Capital Times entertainment reporter. Always fun. We got another text here from the 920. Oh, Conrad's dead.
Yep.
The Shining, another one for The Shining. Jack Nicholson at his finest in the prime of his acting career. That, my favorite, you could talk to your dad about this, Conrad. My favorite scene in The Shining is when Jack Nicholson's in the bathroom and the bathroom attendant is so creepy and they're having this weird conversation. And in the background is the song Midnight with the Stars in You, which is a great song. But yeah, very creepy in a winter movie. I went Feel Good, Conrad. I went Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I was thinking Feel Good too. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, that's a great one too.
That is so good.
And then we got movies like Alive, The Shining, all these. Well, Tommy Boy was a good one. That's a good. Your Aunt Carla liked that one. So, all right. So we got some NBA news very quickly. Breaking. Lay it on us, buddy.
Oh yeah, Luka on the Mavs, point guard for them, dropped 73 points. Tonight, 73.
Not a bad outing.
Ties for the fourth most points in a game ever.
That's awesome. 73 points more than I've ever scored in a game. Hey, and when we come back, we're going to talk about axe throwing. You can't miss this. It's a great way to finish the show. Axe throwing is next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, last night, dressed up like Elvis. Why am I?
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Welcome back. It's a nightlight on this lovely Friday evening here in the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the City Deck Studios here in Green Bay. From WGBW, great to have you with me on this Friday night, helping me nightlight, getting my nightlight on, as the kids say, whatever we, however we want to say that. Is that what the kids say, Conrad, getting my nightlight on?
I think I'm still a kid, and I don't say that.
Okay, you don't say If you could have some suggestions for me by the end of the show, what the kids are saying, that would help me. Maybe our next guest can help me. His name is Matthew Gray, and he is the general manager of Flannel Jack's in Madison, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Matthew, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's our pleasure. Great to, thanks for taking the time out. I imagine Friday nights where you work are quite busy. Tell us, first of all, before we get into that, tell us a little bit about what you do there at Flannel Jack's. I've been teasing it the whole show with axe throwing, and it's not really a tease. That is kind of what you do.
Pretty much to a T what we do. We take, axes and just throw them at targets. Our goal is to bring out your inner lumberjack, you know, while you're here with us, and, you know, make sure you're having a great time.
Yeah, totally. So when you say throw axes at targets, you mean in a sports sense, not an anger sense.
Well, I mean, everyone's a little different. Some sure. people like to throw it, maybe they want to bring in a picture and throw it a picture.
Well, that was my question. Yeah. It sounds like a fun thing to do for groups or couples, but I was going to ask you if you've ever seen couples arguing and then realize, oh my God, they're holding axes. That's not good. I'll take that as a no. Okay. So tell us a little bit about, like, if people go to a Flannel Jack's, what is the experience like from when they walk in the door to while they're there?
So pretty much we're traditional, as you know, as far as axe throwing goes. We don't have any of the fancy high-tech gizmos and gadgets. Pretty much we're just looking for a fun, social, obviously extreme time while you're here. Each facility is slightly different, but the one in Madison, again, we go with more of a rock vibe. Our goal is to have you sicking bullseyes before you're leaving and maybe hopefully hitting a perfect game or getting a time up on the board. So that way, we can recognize you for 2024 and then maybe roll you over into 2025 as one of our top throwers.
Oh, that's interesting. So you told me the other day when I first talked to you that it was a little bit like darts. How does the scoring go? Like you're throwing an actual axe at a target, and I assume it's how close you get and that kind of stuff, but how do you do the scoring for that?
So for us, we're very beginner focused. So we're right now thinking about doing a little change on the board, but typically like anything, you have a bullseye in the middle. We call them money shots. They're different, you know, everywhere you go. But those are our big high scores. So depending on the games you're playing, the larger ones are typically you're going for four bullseyes and then you're throwing that fifth one at that money or kill shot, which is what they call it in the big leagues. So, you know, true high score would be 50 points, but let's be honest, not a lot of people can do that.
Do you have a lot of repeat customers? Like people, are there leagues, that kind of thing, or repeat customers? How does that work?
We have some repeat customers. It's definitely, you get in that adrenaline rush, you know, throwing an axe at a board.
Sure.
We haven't we've had like one attempt at a league before. Our goal is to get a few new ones, more beginner leagues. Sundays, more of a kind of like a drop-in kind of league. So you're not like fully committed, but if you want to come and enjoy the experience, we're going to be bringing those coming Sundays down the road here.
Nice. Okay. And how much does it cost? How much? And is it like a time thing?
Typical, or? Like say you're just throwing for an hour, about $25, 2 hours, 40. There's group rates when you get into larger groups. The facility we have is set up for groups. Like you have a court instead of a lane. So again, you're already starting off with more people throwing at once than you would at most facilities out there.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That's actually really reasonable, I would think. $25 for an hour. $25 for a chance at a serious injury. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Oh yeah.
Are you pretty good at it? Have you done it?
Oh, I've picked it up. Yeah. You know, I don't have that many perfect games, only like four or so right now. But you know, it's some people are naturals and some people take just a little more time. So
yeah, totally.
I'm not a natural.
Okay. Do you know where this started? Like I was kind of fascinated because it's one thing to bowl or throw darts, but like, does this date back like to the 1800s to like Daniel Boone? When did axe throwing start and how did it start? If you know?
Yeah, I don't know the exacts there. This isn't like dodgeball where they're throwing severed heads, but, I'm sure it, you know, falls back into that category. But it's been a pretty big craze, you know, way before, the whole pandemic days, and I think it's picking up because you know they have the World Axe League, and you know you got some ranked people out there. I think there was a tournament where I think even the number 12 was throwing somewhere in Wisconsin.
Wow, no kidding! All right, well that's now the other thing I have to ask is there alcohol involved?
We do. So shockingly, you know, you wouldn't you wouldn't think mixing axes and alcohol is the brightest idea, but it works out sometimes. Everybody's a little different. Maybe sometimes it takes the edge off and you're a little more, you know, focused in.
Yeah.
But again, they're with moderation, obviously. Of course.
Sure. Absolutely. I would think that like, it'd be like shooting pool, like where you just have enough alcohol to get in the zone, maybe with axe throwing too. And then once you pass a certain threshold, it's all bets are off, but.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, Matthew. So thanks so much for your time tonight. Where can people get tickets or learn more? Do you have a website or something?
So pretty much if you go, you know, you can just Google in Flannel Jacks.
Okay.
That's J-A-X. And then our website, you can book them right there online or just walk in, you know.
Fantastic. And you're located where in Madison? Where about?
We're on the west side. Okay. So if anyone's familiar with the Westtown Mall, we're just off of hold on, bear with me.
That's
here.
Okay. No, and the Google works too. They could find it. I'm sure you're probably one of the only few.
So we're on Watts Road, basically just off of Gammon.
Perfect. Well, I continued success, my friend, and be careful there. Thanks for joining us tonight on Nightlight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, you got it. That's Matthew Gray, the general manager of Flannel Jacks in Madison. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight, Terry Barr, Rob Thomas. Thanks as always for your texts. And we will see you back here Monday. Rachel Manick is on the show next week, as well as If Walls Could Talk host Mike Siegel will be back again for another visit. I'm Pete Schwabba. This has been Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.